Welcome to the English Florist Podcast, a fortnightly show about living the life of an event florist. Today, Linz takes a windy walk to start with, close to her home on Greenham Common in Newbury, musing about the new year and the challenge of the quiet time. She also talks about community, where to buy flowers, the guilt some feel, but equally the facts of buying imported, and kindness. And back in the kitchen, out of the wind, starting out, the realities of mixing business and family, taking breaks, and also solitude.
It's a dry January day, and I'm at Green and Common, walking Maple. And over on the Extra Snippings podcast, I'm just focusing on looking at one's business and considering what we need to do in January. As an event florist, it's a really quiet time. I'm mindful that not everybody is an event florist listening to this podcast. So this podcast is going to be about being a business, working from home, being a sole trader. If, like me, you work for yourself, I'm just going to focus on that, really. It's quite a big subject, so I'm really probably just scratching the surface. But I sometimes find, and I don't know about you, that it gets pretty lonely. And I think one of the downsides to social media, looking at Instagram, is everybody else seems to be having a lovely time. Definitely the grass appears greener on the other side. I'm not entirely sure. In fact, I'm pretty certain it's not true. Everyone's gone now. My children have gone back to London, picking up their lives, going back to work. My husband's gone to the office today. He's actually having a belated Christmas do. Unfortunately, there's no one at home. I don't have any work colleagues, and I don't have any events that require me to book some freelancers, which is always so welcome. I love the company, and it's pretty lonely in January. There's very little income to be earned. Of course, I've got all the admin, and I've got quotes to do. I'm chasing up other clients who haven't got back to me on quotes that I've sent out before Christmas. There are positives to being self-employed. I have to say, I'm not sure that I could actually go back to working for somebody else. I know I have a friend who is a chef, and after lockdown decided that she would get a regular job, having been self-employed for the last 15 years. By the end of last year, she went back to being self-employed. Just being employed by somebody else and having to fit in with their requirements, I don't know, it's something that our self-employed people aren't really used to. I think there's lots to be said about having time to fit in things that you want to do around your business, and I certainly really value that. That said, I have met lots and lots of people on my one-to-one workshops who really do find it incredibly lonely and end up going to work with other people in other industries just to overcome the loneliness and the isolation. I think it's a good time, actually, in January, February, to check in with other florists. We're pretty rubbish at it, actually, aren't we? I know it's easier for me because I teach a lot of one-to-one workshops, and so people come and we can share. I think it's a really nice time to reach out to fellow florists. Maybe meet up, go for a cup of coffee. I don't know. Maybe there should be a little community where we just organise dates, where if you can make it, you can go along and have a cup of coffee. Buy your own coffee and a cake, pull up a chair and have a chat with fellow florists. I certainly think it would make us all feel a lot better. For me, I love catching up with a florist friend, even if they're competitors up the road, and I know lots of florists in my area. It's nice just to check in with them. You know what, we're not all making buckets of money. We're all struggling, by and large, to make a living. And for some people, making a living is not a big deal. They're just doing flowers and the income doesn't actually really matter. But for a lot of people, they're making a living to pay their mortgage, to pay the heating bills, to put food on the table. And I think it's just really sad that we can't just check in with one another. It's not all about competition, it's about community. And I know I talk about this a lot, but I do check in with fellow florists. No, I don't know everyone in the area. There's a handful of really good florists that I know that I would be happily sitting down with a cup of coffee with. And it's simple things like just hearing from a fellow florist friend that they've not got many bookings for next year. And you don't think, yay, more work for me. You just think, well, in my case, oh, that's a relief. I don't have many. Last year I had lots more bookings, but this year I don't have many. Sometimes it's just reassuring that given the economic situation, it's a bit quiet. Customers are a little bit tentative to commit. They're shopping around. I've certainly heard from florist friends that they're finding it harder to get business, particularly if you're an established florist and you're charging and you're VAT registered and you have a minimum spend. There is a recession on, as I said, and people are often shopping around and they're looking for a bargain. And you have to stand out. You have to put your case forward. Maybe you need to reevaluate what a minimum spend is in order to get that business. And sometimes it's just easier just to ponder these conundrums with another florist. So if you do know someone, even if it's not very well, maybe just ping them a WhatsApp. Ask them if they fancy meeting up this month or next month for a cup of coffee. I promise you, you won't regret it. You really won't regret it. Having flower friends, even as I say, if you are considered, you know, competition within the area, to look out for each other. Community over competition. Every time for me, every time. So what are you doing in January? How's your business looking? Are you thinking about becoming a florist, getting trained, seeking out the best courses, wondering how to do it? These are reasons why you need to reach out to other florists, because they'll send you in the right direction. Turn you away from big mistakes. Don't go there. It wasn't helpful. This is a really good wholesaler. This is a great flower farm, and so on and so forth. So, although I don't grow flowers, I'm not a flower farmer. I don't do anything like that at all. That's more of a hobby for me. And they are having their quiet time in that they're not actually planting out necessarily at the moment. They're maybe seeding, sowing seeds, potting on, planting out seedlings, ordering in summer flowers. I don't know. I'm not a flower farmer. I'm just a florist. Just a florist. I say that because there are so many people selling flowers these days. And I think the word florist is, well, it sort of encompasses so much. There are shop florists. There are event florists like me. And then there were flower farmers who are also dabbling in floristry, some of them very successfully. We all come at it from different angles, and there's room for all of us. There really is. One of the things I hear a lot from florists who are relatively new to being florists is that they are really struggling at the moment with the guilt and the shaming of buying imported flowers. Well, can I just say, there aren't enough flowers grown in this country to go round to meet the demands. And regardless of whether we'd all like to work seasonally, there's a viewpoint on this. And just because some people are really, really ardent, staunch supporters of all British flowers doesn't mean to say that you have to be too. It's perfectly okay and perfectly acceptable to combine both. Or if you don't want to buy British flowers, then don't. It's your choice. It's up to you. Don't be swayed. Don't be swayed. And for me, this is a brilliant time of year to really engage with what's coming out of Italy and France. There's lots of ranunculus and anemones. There are narcissi, of course, we can source those locally from the Isles of Scilly. But, you know, it's absolutely fine to be sourcing your flowers from further afield. At the end of the day, we're running businesses. We're trying to do it sustainably, most of us. But actually, in order to run a business and earn a living, we have to access the flowers to meet the needs of our customers. And whilst we're all trying to educate our customers, that doesn't always mean to say we're only going to sell them flowers when there are flowers growing in the fields around and about us. As you can hear, there's a lot of water at Greenham Common. And the big fluffy thing that I normally put on top of my phone to record this podcast, I've lost it between Christmas and New Year. Sorry, Neil, I'm still looking. So if there's a little bit of gusts of wind that sort of interfere with the sound, my apologies. I promise solemnly to have it back by the time I record the next podcast. So yes, January. I think Monday is the start of when they decide that it's the lowest, bleakest Monday in the calendar year, when people are at their poorest because perhaps they haven't been paid, they're absolutely skint. It's a bleak, bleak time for so many people. Not everyone, but so many people. So be kind, be considerate, but look after yourselves. It might be bleak and dark and dismal and tough for you. And I think this podcast, the message I'm trying to get out, is that you're not alone. If you are working for yourself, there isn't somebody to meet at the water cooler or the photocopying machine like there might be in an office. We're often just getting up and getting through the day. And it's tough. It's really, really tough. So don't look for reasons to beat yourself up even more. Me, I have those days too, just like you do. I feel it just like everybody else. I'm a little bit older and wiser now, and sometimes those that shout the loudest are the most, you know, dedicated to their causes aren't always right. There's always other sides, other angles to view these things at. So be kind to yourself. Check in with your friends, your flower friends particularly. And a problem shared is a problem halved. Making myself a nice cup of hot tea. The weather is grim. It's January. It's hardly going to be gorgeous, is it? And as I look outside, it's grey, dreary. The garden needs a bit of pruning back, I've got to say. And whilst I'm sort of getting through the emails and It's amazing how in that 2 week period from when I stop working until I come back and I'm officially open for business, it's incredible how much gets backlogged, how much you can forget in a 2 week period, and how much needs to be done still. So I'm just in that process of answering emails, updating proposals, booking in new clients for Zoom consultations, and just kind of looking over the diary for the year. And one of the questions that was sent to me the other day, I'm just going to sit down, by somebody who follows me on Instagram was, "Hey, Lynn, no need to name me or put my Instagram up here, but I'd just like to know whether you ever have..." "Whether you plan the year ahead for holidays. I'm just wondering what I should do. I'm quite new to floristry and wondering what I should do." It's a really good question. I think most of us are just so grateful to get a booking. Come what may, if you're new to floristry, you're going to be you're going to just be so delighted that you'd probably rather, you know, skip a few days of your holiday, unless of course it's already pre-booked. But I do think it's important to schedule time in. Definitely. For you, for your family, for your own mental health, to be honest. I think when you're establishing a business, it's very, very easy to get completely absorbed in it, especially when you've got weddings. It's such a steep learning curve those first few years growing the business, that you pour everything into it. You eat, sleep and drink your flowers, and it's very easy to put other things by the by. I don't recommend it. I speak to a lot of florists and my one-to-ones. A lot of florists come because they know that I started my business when my children were at school and they were very young. And the advice hasn't changed in all those years. You do have to prioritise your family. It is a luxury and a privilege to be able to work from home and work your business around your children. And I appreciate that, you know, we need to earn an income. And, you know, children have to understand that work is a priority. But don't make it the absolute focus. Make sure you schedule time in your year to have a break, to go away if you can possibly afford it, and to be with your children and your family. I have in the past been so enthusiastic in booking weddings that when I actually finally thought about going on holiday, I think it was probably about March or April, I pulled up my schedule and realised that I had booked all the way through. There wasn't a window where we could actually go away on holiday as a family. And I remember, I still feel guilty even retelling that story, that I had managed to, you know, just miss a trick completely. I think we managed to do something in October. I can't remember. It was quite a while ago. So don't do it. You do get tired and you do need a break. And as I said before, to take a break and to switch off. I was just talking about this on my Patreon page podcast, talking about just getting away between Christmas and New Year. I properly switch off and I don't work anymore. Now, I appreciate a lot of people will capitalise on that window between Christmas and New Year where lots of shop florists properly close. And so there is often wedding work to be had, and it's there for the taking. But I've been there and I've got the t-shirt, and I now don't work between Christmas and New Year. I just work so hard in that last quarter of the year. I do need that time off, and it's really special time for my family and I. So yeah, do plan carefully. So January, here we are. Look at your diary and think when you can take holiday. Think if you've got children, where their holidays are likely to be, when you need to kind of stop planning for a wedding, or if you've got a wedding, you know, you often have to get the flowers in the week before. So are you going to be coming home? Are you going to get home from your holiday in time to get those flowers in? And when I do go away, I often let my clients who are coming up after my return from a holiday know that I am on holiday. And they are the only people that if there was an absolute emergency, they needed to let me know something, then I would allow them to, I would say I would reply to them, absolutely, 100%. Anyone else, there is an out of office on my email reply, and it will state clearly when I am open. Of course, I look at my emails during the course of that 2 weeks, as in I see my inbox is filling up and I will delete all the unnecessary rubbish that comes in, and also kind of maybe read some of those emails and then just put them back to unread so that when I get back into the office, I can actually reply to them. So I occasionally do that. And I need to do that in order to kind of just prioritize, and it still allows me, I'm still able to relax. What I'm not doing is responding to anything other than absolute emergencies, which, to be honest, I've never had to do. I've literally never had to do. What I have done is had to order and prepare parts of flower orders in the week before I come home. And again, I try not to do that anymore. I will try and just pick up the thread. As soon as I touch down, I'm back on duty again. But occasionally you might need to be in touch with a flower grower to see whether they've got availability. If you can do that before you go away, I think that's a great thing. So yes, planning the year ahead, planning things like, Have you got lots of weddings in one particular month and none the month before? Sometimes, because of the nature of what we do, in a perfect world, I'd like to have two weddings a month during the wedding season, maybe between, I don't know, March and October. It will be lovely to have two weddings and for me to just kind of cherry pick when I can take my holiday. The reality doesn't work like that at all. I could have like six or seven potential weddings in August. I tend not to go away in August because it's peak holiday season. And so do I want to have six weddings? Well, if I've got absolutely nothing in July, maybe I need to. So there's a kind of idealized way of running your business, and then there's a reality of what you do have. And, you know, it's the ebb and flow of being, an event florist. You know, not everyone's going to book me when I want to be booked. It just doesn't happen like that. So in a perfect world, I like to have two weddings, possibly three, depending on their size, per month through the wedding season, with the exception of when I'm going away. So it's this time of year that I normally sit down and chat with my husband and talk about when I've got some lovely juicy gaps in the diary and when we might go away. Before that, when the children were at home, then I always worked around their holidays. And so I think it's really important that you do bear that in mind. And plan. Definitely plan. Wherever possible, put pencils through your diary to make sure that you have blocked out the weekends when you need to be getting away, and then the 2 weeks or the week when you are away, and then the weekend for traveling home, if that's how it's going to work for you. That's generally how it works for me, because I obviously have to work around my husband, who does work a Monday to Friday, essentially a 9 to 5. And so I'm kind of working along his lines to accommodate his lack of flexibility, because he's not self-employed. So yeah, that's what I would do. Definitely some planning. Great question. So it's back to the admin for me. I am literally wading through the last of the inbox unopened emails. It's not too bad, actually. It's not too bad. I just think there is a loneliness and an emptiness to January, and maybe it's just me. I just don't like January, but equally, I almost look forward to it in December, when there is just so much to do, so many wreaths to make, so many things to squeeze in before Christmas Day. I long for the long emptiness of January, and now that it's here, God, I'm so miserable, aren't I? I'm never satisfied. It's not true. I am. I'm I am enjoying the quiet solitude. I'm really looking forward to the weddings that I've got this year. There are some fantastic ones. And I'm really looking forward to the workshops I'm going to be teaching. And there's quite a few this month. January and February and March are really, really good times as a florist teacher for me to welcome people in, to polish up their skills, teach them new skills, sit down and kind of go over their businesses and see their business from a different set of eyes, essentially. It's a really good thing to do and just kind of put our heads together. And I think it's quite a cathartic thing for a lot of florists who've not indulged themselves before and have an overview of where they are and what they're doing. So very often, I think the biggest takeaway from my workshops is that reassurance that, you know, contrary to the world of Instagram, we don't live this fine curated life, that actually there are dips and troughs and peaks and highlights and joyful moments, which are often punctuated by quiet, insecure, desperate, lonely moments. And if you do have florist friends, I do, I've talked about this earlier in the podcast, do check in with them because they will be feeling something along the same lines as you. For me, I'm so used to this process now. I've been doing it so long. I just get through it. As I say, on the one hand, it is quiet and quite lonely and the weather isn't, it's not inviting, is it? But on the other hand, I'm looking forward. It's a time actually to do things like go onto the sale pages and buy things for Christmas next year. Things like ribbons often are in the sale. Get them now when there's like 10 or 20% or even more discount. Look at some of those big weddings where you might need to get some vases or, you know, update your props. This is the time if you're quiet. If you have got those booking deposits in, it's the time to start planning and spending a little bit of them and buy those things that you need for those weddings so that once the weddings pick up again, that you're already ahead of the game. I would definitely use this time to your advantage. But also just take care of yourself. For myself, I've been doing this for such a long time, my body has taken quite a bashing. All of that lifting from when I was a midwife and a nurse to hoiking my children around to 22 years of lifting buckets and climbing ladders and, as I say, hoiking pedestals and plinths and lifting, you know, great big arrangements from A to B to C. My body has taken a real bashing. And so this is the time that I go and get it fixed. This is the time I get my nails done and I actually treat myself to a facial and a back massage. It's the time I look after myself. And I think you have to look at it in a positive way rather than just think that you're hibernating away and that the rest of the world that's posting all sorts of glamorous, you know, look back over the last year on Instagram. Don't believe everything you see. Everyone is not having a brilliant time. They're talking the talk, they're walking the walk, but that's not reality, okay? This podcast, this is the reality. A broken florist just gently fixing herself, going with the ebb and flow, and just, yeah, taking this time just to look over my business and tighten up those little bolts and just put a little bit of oil in the joints to make sure that come the summer and the spring, everything is running smoothly. So the next time I'm going to be back on this podcast, I'm really hoping that I'm going to have had lunch with my mentor, Lou, and she is going to be talking to us about her years as a florist. She is now in her 81st year, and I just want to pick her brains about the old days, about what it used to be like to be a florist. Louise used to be a London florist, a little car that she used to tootle around, and she was trained by a florist that was trained by Constance Spry, so she's thoroughly old school, and she can tell a tale. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from her very soon. I am hoping it to be the next big podcast. So yeah, take care, and maybe reach out and have a cup of coffee with one of your florist friends.
Join Lindsay Kitchen every 2 weeks for the English Florist podcast. If you're thinking of starting a business, and also for established florists who'd like to go behind the scenes, you can become a supporter of this podcast and enjoy Extra Snippings, where Linz reveals more about the business side of being a professional event florist. Today's Extra Snippings is available now, and in it, Lindsay shares thoughts about work-life balance, profit, valuing your skills, subscription flowers, attending workshops, and organising the business for the months that lie ahead. Go to the White Horse Flower Company at whfco.co.uk and click on to the Patreon link, or click on the link in your podcast player app here. Be sure to subscribe to hear all updated episodes and follow Lindsay on Instagram at the White Horse Flower.